thing in the world to grumble about. Theodore, sometimes I grumble, but I really don't have nothing to grumble about. He just listens to me. But anyway, we're glad you're able to come back with us. We are, really are. Glad you're be here too, Todd, on Sunday night. I know the way you work, you don't have the privilege the rest of us do, but glad you're here tonight. I thought this morning, I'm just going to say this, maybe talk a little bit about it, but I watched, I have three grandsons, and I've watched them all play ball and in school and different things, and was real proud of them. Now, this may seem like a little thing to some people, but see one of them come up and take part in the communion service this morning, it thrilled me. I was never more proud. No, nothing they could do could make me any more proud. I know Meredith and Chris the same way, Kendra and Jim, Aaron and Susie, sorry, and Jeremy here, or he's none of them, but anyway, we're glad of all of you. We are. I was glad of them boys, you know, I appreciate it. Sometimes I get talking, I lose my train of thought, but that's okay. But anyway, I think it's been a good day, and God's really been good to us. Brother Al, he'll be preaching here after a while, and let's pray for him real good. We got two or three different ones that's going to be a singing for us here in a little bit. And let's just all get right in. No matter what's going on, you feel free, if you got a testimony, to do that. Mind the Lord. You may have what it takes to bust a service open. God may be calling on you to do that. And if you don't do it, then he'll give it to somebody else, and you're going to lose a big blessing over it. And I've had that to happen to me a lot of times. But anyway, we're glad of all of you. I'd like for Chris and Sharon, if they would, get a song, and let's just all stand. And if you want to, shake hands with one another. If you want to give somebody a hug, you do that. Ever how what the Lord leads you to do. And we'll have our family prayer together, and we'll go from there.
Page 196, 196.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful?
Amazing grace, how sweet.
before we go to prayer, I want to, and I forget to do this a lot of times, I'm going to try to make it a point not to no more. Anybody that's here for the first time, we want you to be welcome. If you're here that hadn't been here for a while, we're sure glad to see you back. Set like that. And Ron, I see you back right now. I couldn't find you a while ago, but I know you was proud. I was proud of our boys this morning that took part in the communion. I really was. I was proud of them. It just done me good. Has anybody got any requests before we go to prayer? Anyone else? Barbara, get her last name back there this morning. Back, she requested prayer for Dean Henson, which Dean is, I don't know his age. He's probably in his late 50s, early 50s maybe. But he had a stroke, but he's doing real well. He's doing, they're doing therapy with him now, but let's keep praying for him. That ain't something to, that's something serious. I don't care who has it, but he's doing well with it. He's not a real old fella, and that's kind of in his favor, so let's still remember him. Anybody wants to come up front, come on up front, and if you got a prayer that you want to raise your hand, God will see them all, and that's all. Let's go to prayer right now. Thank you. service is yours. Brother Steve will be singing for us here in a little bit. Brother Randy and Tanya, if you would, come on up. Anybody got a testimony while she comes up? And we'll...
Just a tiny little boy stood in tears on a busy street corner. What was he doing here? As he tried to explain, all he knew was his name. Now it was late and beginning to rain. So I asked him about the place where he lived. He remembered the old church where the big cross was lit. And as his eyes opened wide, and he said with a smile, "If you'll just get me to the cross, then I can find my way home."
Show me the cross, and I'll find my way home. Show me the cross, and I'll know where to go. When I'm there beneath the cross, I'm no longer lost. Show me the cross, and I'll find my way home.
There was a tiny old pathway that I had trod. It was far from familiar, and I found myself lost. Then I remembered the place where I first saw his face. I cried, "Lord, get me to the cross, and I can find my way home."
Show me the cross, and I'll find my way home.
tiny old pathway that I had trod. It was far from familiar, and I found myself lost. Then I remembered the place where I first saw his face. I cried, "Lord, get me to the cross, then I can find my way home.
Show me the cross, and I'll find my way home. Show me the cross, and I know where to go. When I'm there beneath the cross,
Steve, as you come. Randy, you and Steve, come on up. Somebody want to talk while they're getting ready?
Appreciate everybody that came, but you know what? There was a guy there that really blessed my heart because he was there, and his name was Brian, and it wasn't too long ago we were praying for Brian because he was in a mess, and he had himself in a real mess. He really did, but I am so glad that he's, with the Lord's help, has been able to climb out of that mess, and every time I see him at church, I tell him I'm proud of him. Because I felt like the devil had him in his grasp. I really believe that. But he was able, through the Lord's help, to climb up out of that. And I appreciate that. And it sure is good to see that the Lord has brought what the Lord brought him out of. And I just want to pass that on. I don't know if anybody else knew that, but it sure is nice when you see the Lord pick them up, dust them off, and set them back on the right hand. And I appreciate that, because I was worried. Dana, I was pretty worried about that young man, and I'm proud of him, and I'm glad that the Lord has blessed him and brought him back.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I had a friend, well, I still got the friend, but his daddy passed away in a nursing home, and when you show me the cross, I can find my way home. That song was just, it was sitting there, and it just kept running in my head. When I go to visit the old gentleman, I'd stayed with him several times, knew him for like 40 years. And the last time I saw him, he had done faded to where he didn't even know who I was. But he still knew the Lord. You mentioned any verse in the Bible, he could quote scripture. He knew what was important, and he could find his, he found his way home. And that, boy, that song just really blessed my heart. It really did. Well, Chris wasn't with us, and Pam Kreitz is sick, and she's supposed to be singing with us, and Chris is. We practiced twice today, the song twice, so we're gonna give a couple songs a shot here, and I hope somebody gets a blessing.
This is no, totally, totally off the cuff from the hip, so you pray.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus let me in, and then the light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all. But Jesus is a friend that watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer, we'll turn in.
And you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And they will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer, we'll turn in.
And you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Sorrow there, no.
me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Bless the Lord.
This song was Aaron Davis's idea. He brought this to me, and I think it was a pretty good idea. It's a good song. He just, I didn't know he could sing bass so well. I really didn't. I had no idea. I'm sorry, Donnie was supposed to be up there. I sing because. Make sure it's the track, not the demo.
I've been singing for my Lord for many years. I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had fears. Some folks even question if it's all been just a show. But the reason I'm still singing, I want the world to know. I sing because, there is an empty grave.
I sing because
there is the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. And sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing throughout eternity. I've sung to those walking through the fiery trials. I've seen their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I've bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me.
Gives the victory.
I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. And sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing throughout eternity. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing throughout eternity.
One practice session, we went through the song three times.
And Chris wasn't even there.
Bless him, Lord.
I like to hear you practice. I'm going to see what you're going to say. You'll sound good. Anybody got a testimony now?
Bless him, Lord.
Well, Dana, I'll stand up again.
Bless you, Kendra. You can stand up all you want there, honey.
And what the Lord gave me before they sang, and definitely now that they sang,
right on that, buddy.
Bless
your heart.
The rose.
Bless you, Steve. Bless him, Lord.
The broken rose?
The 15.
Words cannot describe its beauty as upon the stem it grows. Matchless in its glory, the tender little rose. When its petals are broken, its greatest beauty it shows. Or much sweeter, the fragrance of the broken rose. The most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill far away. Forsaken by his friends and bruised by his foes, how sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose. Then they laid that broken rose in are a tomb, but on the third day that rose again did blow. Now from the heights of heaven down to the deepest hell, the fragrance of heaven's rose continually dwells. The most beautiful rose was broken one day. He was nailed to a tree on a hill far away, forsaken by his friends and bruised by how sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose. Forsaken by his friends and bruised by his foes, how sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose.
Got any more surprises?
No.
That's good. I think this has been good tonight. God ain't done yet. Anyone else? Brother John Litton, if you would, I'd like for you to stand and pray for Brother Hal and his sermon tonight, and Lord, just bless him real good as he comes tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you give us. Thank you for another opportunity to be back in your house, Lord, worshiping you. Lord, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the spirit that's here this evening. Lord, I pray you be with Pastor Al as he comes to bring a message. Just speak through him to us. If there's anyone here that hasn't accepted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray tonight they'll make the best decision of their life. Amen.
Good evening.
Bless you.
Have you ever, thank you, have you ever read the word and it convicts you and really stirs you up? Well, since Brother Bailey's been teaching Genesis and talking about Adam and Eve, I started thinking about that. So I want to, with the help of the Lord, bring a message to you out of John, the 3rd chapter. It has some good reading in it, but I just want to use one particular verse. It tells you about Nicodemus. That's not what I want to talk about. In John, the 3rd chapter, the very last verse. I've also have a lot of things in my mind since my sister-in-law died. The day that she went in, we was right there. They called us and we rushed in there. And I told my wife, I said, I don't think she's going to make it. She never was conscious to us. If she could hear us, we didn't know it. She would try to open her eyes, but I don't know just how much. And I thought, you know, that's how uncertain life is. And if we're not ready when he calls, it's too late. It's too late. So you pray for me. I need your prayers. I don't want to put a guilty feeling on, not Greg. But the word of God that Greg's been teaching us has brought a guilty feeling to me on Adam and Eve. He ate, and she was looking for excuses. And from that time of Adam and Eve, we have not stayed with the ugliness of what sin does to our life. We've sort of tried to make it sound a little easier. In the very last verse of John, the 3rd, this is what he said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided in him. You see, when we hear that word, sin, right in the middle of it, is I. So it involves every one of us. None of us, no matter how good we were, no matter how honest and outstanding in our community, are without sin. You think of it. And I want to talk to you with the help of the Lord just for a little bit. What's the greatest sin in the world? To you, what is probably the worst sin? Well, probably some of us would say, well, it's drugs. What it's doing to our children, to our families, to our homes. Some would probably say, oh, it's alcohol. It's done a lot of damage. It costs a lot. But yet, in reality, we make a difference in sin. I've talked to some of my family, and I think we probably have even talked about it here. And we agreed in my family, and with anger, that probably the worst is a child molester. Matter of fact, probably I've said, you know, I would not feel bad erasing them from the earth. Same thing about pedophiles. That's how I'm confessing to you. But we make a difference in sin. Someone has said, you know, and we saw just the celebrity, that's what he is to a lot of people, that just got released after a few years in prison for killing a beautiful lady and her boyfriend. Now he's out. And what's going to happen, I don't know. What did he do? He murdered. On one side, the lawyer said he did. The other side, no, he's not guilty. Whoever it was murder. But this man that the Bible talks about, matter of fact, his name was Saul, and God got a hold of him and changed it to Paul. Wasn't he a murderer? Didn't he do a lot of damage to the church and was out with anger, with hatred, out to destroy the church of the living God? He was responsible, not for one, but for multitude of people that was murdered. And he wanted that approval. But Timothy says in the first chapter, 12 to 15th verse, this is what he said. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's how he felt. So we could say that Paul, rightfully so, committed murder of many, many lives. The people that crucified Christ were murderers. And they thought they were doing the right thing. Well, you say, preacher, how can they do that? But I want to tell you something. I believe in heaven there'll be murderers that have been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they'll be there. And we'll dwell together as one family of God, but we'll not know the former life. We'll be the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. You see, a lot of people, and I've been guilty, and probably you have too, whether we admit or not. We have murdered people with our tongue. We have murdered them to the place that probably, I don't know if they would ever get over the influence that we killed from their lives. But I want to tell you, murderers will be in heaven by the grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it good that we have such a Savior? Not only does He save us, He redeems us, but He gives us a brand new slate. That we will not have that record in our life. Because, as Aaron spoke, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all, not one little one, not big one, but all sin. We as human beings, we have the thoughts in our mind that some sins are justifiable. There's only one that the Lord talks about, or the Word of God talks about, that is not forgivable, you see. We categorize them. But John 3:18 says, we all use 3:16, for God so loved the world. But John 3:18 says this, of sin. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the only begotten Son of God. If you don't believe him, you're condemned. You see, he came into the world to save. That was his mission. A lot of people said it was healing. A lot of people said it's to feed the multitude. But primarily, he came to save mankind of what happened with Adam and Eve. God gave us his only Son so that we could have eternal life and live with him abundantly. To every one of us, sin is sin in the sight of God. There's no little sins, there's no big sin. Sin will lead you farther than you want to go. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the drug world that started with just a little bit of buzz, a little bit of high, but it wasn't enough. But you know what the Bible says in Romans? When it's finished, sin is finished, it brings forth death. A lot of times, David thought his sin was covered. Nobody would ever know. But the word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. The sin of thievery, stealing, that's the greatest sin. Crooks, we've cheated, we've lied, anything. But you know what? Three men being crucified. And one of them was considered a thief. And the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. This funeral that I just had about this young man here a few days ago, I must have said something that one of his brothers wanted to talk to me. And he wanted to know more and more and more about what I said in my message. He wasn't criticizing. He was very curious. And he wanted to know more. I said, we can sit down whenever you want to, and we can discuss it. He was really, really touched. Not by me, but by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit. But this thief, one of them said, why don't you curse God and die? And the other one said, remember us. Yeah. Have you ever thought where you and I would be today hadn't been for the mercy and the goodness of the Lord towards us? Even when we were unlovable, even when we were unbearable, even when we did not even love ourselves, he was still loving us and knocking at our door and sending the message for us to hear and the Holy Spirit to convict us. So I'm sure in heaven there'll be thieves. Then someone would say, adultery. That's the greatest sin, preacher. That's the greatest sin. But do you remember the woman, the Bible says, caught in the very act of adultery? Yeah. Yeah. And they said, let's stone her. That's what the law said. Stoned her. Yeah. So the Lord began to write. And he said, you that's not guilty, you go ahead and take that first pebble, that stone, and hit her with it. But you know what? The Lord said, I'm not going to condemn you. She had five husbands. And the one that she was living with, this woman is another woman, you see. She was a the well. Say, car. Yet the Lord touched him. Woman at the well, living their own lifestyle, doing their own thing. Let me tell you something. God is a good God. And we don't know the depths of John 3:16. We don't comprehend it. We read it. We memorize it. But God loved us. I'm sure if you would know my past, and none of you know it, first and foremost, I didn't live here when I was in sin. A few days or a month or two after I got here, my life changed by the grace of God. And you know what? Oh, Slewfoot, devil, whatever you want to call him, Lucifer, he wanted to keep on throwing up to me my past. But the Lord forgave me not to remember them against me no more. He said, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to stay in the sinning business. And I'm sure when he forgave her, he felt justified and cleansed. I did. Now, there's a lot of people that get saved and because they don't jump and they don't get loud. When she read about what Psalmist said, clap your hands. If we do that here, you know what they're going to label us? They're saying they're Pentecostal. We're not. That's what the Word of God says. But that's how people are. They're very, 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 very judgmental. Well, what do you think, preachers, the greatest sin according to the Bible? Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Rejecting him. You know. He called. And do you know that some people, because of they've never have heard the true word of God, they really don't comprehend or don't want to. And they'll say, well, preacher, I'm not a bad sinner. I have a neighbor that's close to 90, failing, and I spend time with him, talking with him and praying with him, and he'll tell me, come back. But this is his thinking, Al, I'm not a bad sinner. Well, I don't find in the Bible where there's good sinners and bad sinners. Sinners is sinners. But the greatest sin in the entire world is rejecting him. And by that you're saying, he loved me, but can he prove it? You know, yes, he went to Calvary. He could have called legions of angels, but he died. And he said, for this purpose, for this reason, I came. And when he said the world, he said, that meant mankind, whosoever will. None of us, I don't care what people say, what label they give you. God came to save you and he died on Calvary. As Brother Bailey's been teaching, from the very beginning, God had a plan for mankind. Yeah. He knew what was going to take place. He knew the plan. It was a master plan. And you know what? He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly, you know. This is just the beginning for the believers, but he'll add more to it when we get home to be with him forevermore. That's a comfort to me with people that I bury or I have the services that know the Lord. That's a comfort. Paul said they die in Christ, and we're going to live with him forever. But the greatest sin that you'll commit is rejecting the love, the prayers of God's people, the evangelist giving you the message, the Holy Spirit wooing at your heart. And a lot of times, they're looking for something to say. You know what they say? I'm not ready yet. Or he's not calling me. Excuses, 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 you see. He wants the very best for you. He knows your potentiality. And he knows what you can do for him as a child of the Lord. You can reject him if you want to. And many times I've said in revivals, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The saddest day in the life of Noah, when the rains begin to come, and the Lord had already closed the door. I don't know. I just imagine when the first few drops hit their face, he said, maybe he was right. And I'm imagining again. It don't say it. Probably they knocked. They scratched. Noah, it was too late. The door had been shut. Do you remember what he said to Pilate? Listen to it. Paul dealt with him. He dealt with him. And he turned him down. Now, probably some of you have studied this, and I don't know that he ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he asked that mob, what do you want me to do with him? You know what they said? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. I came to him not knowing much about him. But the more I serve him, and there's so much I still don't know, but I'm so contented, so happy, as Stuart used to say in the revivals, happy, 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 that he saved me. I wasn't worth saving. I wasn't fit. And I still have a lot of faults and failures. But I know that he lives within my heart and life. Do you know him today? He said, yoke up with me. My burden's light. And I'll give you rest. But you know what they say? Not now. Some convenient time. I spoke to a fellow here in Sissonville years ago, and he said, no, 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 no. And I scolded him, and probably I thought I'd make him mad, but it didn't. Well, when he died, I didn't have much to say about his salvation. I had a lot to say about where he worked and how he conducted his life. But I couldn't say that I ever heard him make a commitment to the Lord. Isn't that a sad day? When they leave here with a question mark. When leave no fruits at all. Yeah. Just because they felt serving the Lord would be boring. And it's not. It's exciting. It's adventurous. Yeah. We're on a journey, and the Comforter walks with us. And the Holy Spirit is our road map. I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you from my heart, if there wasn't a heaven, but there is, I still want to serve him. Why? Because this is what Paul said. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Do I have to shout? Do I have to run the aisles? No, 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 no. If you do it and the Lord's not in it, it's not going to be effective. And if you do what the Lord tells you, he's going to bless you for it, and he's going to bless others. Yeah, yeah, you see. But the greatest, greatest sin that's been committed is when people reject him. And you know what you do? I'm going to close my message. The devil's convinced you, and he's a liar, and will always be a liar. Yeah. He tried it on the Lord, said, if thou be. Yeah. So what you're saying, by rejecting him, I'll take my chances. Yeah. But the place, you're not going to die, and that's the end of it. You're going to live either in heaven or in hell. Yeah. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Yeah. The obituary can say good things about you. I mean, I've read them. Man, life. But you know what? If your name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hear him. He'll have the last word. Either welcome, if you know him, or depart. I never knew you. Think about it. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that I heard. I accepted it. I confessed him. I believed him. And Father, you changed my life. And I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you put my sins, Father, in the sea of forgetfulness, never, never to remember them. I thank you, Lord God, that my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not that I deserve it, but by your mercy and grace, we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with us, will
you? Page 255, 255.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Washed it white as snow.